Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6? We are continuing in a word from Matthew and Matthew 6, Matthew 7, Matthew 5, even stemming over into Corinthians that we've been on these last couple of weeks. Today we're going to move to a third part of forgiveness, and that part of forgiveness we're going to call spiritual warfare. Do you know what spiritual warfare is, folks? Folks, that is the battle between Satan and God and all those who are in between who want to follow the Lord God. Anytime God wants to do something on this earth, we know that Satan is against it. So he fights for it. So one of the things we are learning is that forgiveness is so important. Forgiveness is such a deep need in the life of every person, especially for Christians as we are a witness. We find that Satan works double hard to help us to stay angry, not to be able to forgive. So as you find Matthew chapter 6 and you look for verse 12, I want to ask you this question. If you've got it, just kind of mark it with your finger. We'll stand in a moment and read together. But I want to ask you this. Don't you just love God's word? I want to hear some excitement out there today. Don't you just love all of God's word? Isn't all of God's word just wonderful? Have you ever come across a Bible text you didn't like? There are some honest people here today. You know, I thought I was going to get you really good on that. You're all just going to go, no. Well, let me just ask you this. If you've come across those verses and you just go, you know, I don't particularly care for that one today. You know, I wonder if we've ever said, God, I'm going to skip this one today. Can I get a reprieve, you know, a do-over for tomorrow? Do you really love all of God's word? Well, let me just ask you, how do you like this one? Matthew chapter 5, verse 12 says, to rejoice when you're persecuted. How many of you really love that verse? Now, how many of you know we benefit from that verse? Of course. But do we really love that verse, that rejoice when you're persecuted? What about Matthew chapter 6, verse 34? Don't be worried about tomorrow, right? How about Matthew 5:44? You must love your enemies. Don't you just love that verse? Boy, y'all got awful quiet. What happened to my enthusiasm? You know, although we love the Word of God, we often find ourselves squirming as we get to the Word and we're going, wait a minute, can I just go to a different verse? But there are times when God's Word grabs us by the throat, grabs us by the heart, and kind of shakes us around and says, do you realize where you're standing before God? We're going to look at forgiveness again today. We're going to look at another tough scripture to apply to our life because it is so important. You may, as we read this, find yourself challenged again a bit more than you like. Would you stand with me as we read Matthew chapter 6? And we are going to start right in the middle of what we call the model prayer. Some call it the Lord's Prayer. And perhaps you can eat. Let's just start right at the beginning of it, right there at verse 9. Jesus said, in this manner, pray. Say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Stop. Great prayer right up to here, right? It's all about the glory and the wonder of God. And this is where our passage begins today. Verse 12 says, follow along with me. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, verse 12, Jesus then comments after his prayer, and he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." We've read this in the last couple of weeks. "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Would you join me in prayer? Just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment, would you? And crawl into a private prayer closet for just a moment. And would you join me to ask God to open your heart? Would you join me to ask God to speak to you? Would you ask him? Remember, aim your focus. Father, this is our prayer, that you would help us not just to understand what it means to forgive, but to realize how deeply urgent it is in our spiritual, physical, emotional, church, family, social life. God, it is so deep a need that you included it in this model prayer. Speak to us, Father, and show us not just what you mean, but God, would you grab our hearts to the point that we must say, God, help me to do better. Lord, would you give your Holy Spirit to us now that we might understand and be strengthened, because I need it. We need it. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you be seated? Many of us struggle with forgiveness at times. Sometimes it's things that just happen around our home. Sometimes it happens at work. Sometimes it's things that happened a long time ago, and we still hang on to them. And in some cases, we really think that our bitterness is justified. This is why I'm going to be doing my third sermon today on forgiveness, because we're going to talk about how it plays into everything else that happens in your spiritual life. That forgiveness, or a lack of forgiveness, we should say, is a deep form of spiritual warfare that Satan uses to knock us down. Sometimes we think, you know what, I'm justified. After all, those people hurt me. Now listen, here's one of the things that we remembered as we looked at the four stages of forgiveness. We realized that one of them is confirm the hurt. Listen, when somebody hurts us, it hurts, right? And it always hurts me more than it hurts you, right? Do you know the difference between major surgery and minor surgery? Minor surgery is when it's on you. Major is when it's on me. Right? So what's the difference between major hurt and minor hurt? Major is when it's on me, minor on you, right? Listen, we all have our hurts. We all have our things. You know the old saying, you know, that puppy love is real to the puppy? Listen, so is puppy hurt. Puppy hurt's real to the puppy. Medium hurt, big hurt. Hurt hurts. And one of the things we need to come to grips with is just to say, God, I have been injured. It hurts. They did me wrong. But the problem is that we shouldn't be hanging on to the bitterness. Sometimes we think, God, they're the ones who did the wrong. Why should I forgive? Nevertheless, God's word is very clear, is it not? God's word says he will withhold our forgiveness if we do not forgive others. He just said right here in the Lord's Prayer again. This is the third scripture we've read about this in the last 2 weeks, about God saying he requires our forgiveness for our own forgiveness. The shame of it is our society has fostered an attitude of blame, has it not? Everybody's problem is somebody else's fault. I can't help the way I am. I was born this way. Oh, well, it's not my fault. My mama's fault. My daddy's fault. My sister's fault. My brother's fault. My boss's fault. My employee's fault. My neighbor's fault. It's even my dog's fault. I do not deny the reality of pain. Amen? Remember, confirm the hurt is part of the process. I do not deny that there are painful things that happen out there or even difficult influences on people as they grow up. Some people have parents that, you know, that weren't good mamas and daddies. And yet, God brought you to here and God can help you through it. God's word is clear. When all we do is learn to blame others, it's easy to be bitter. It's their fault, so I'm bitter. It's their fault, so I'm angry. And when we're bitter, we just find that forgiveness is not a very ready option. Have you noticed that? Forgiveness comes when our heart kind of mellows out some. But in the bitterness, in the anger, it's awfully hard to forgive. Now, why is forgiveness, or should I say, the matter of forgiveness, why is that spiritual warfare? Why do we call it spiritual warfare? I'm going to say that anger and bitterness and a lack of forgiveness are strongholds of Satan. They are areas where Satan gets a hold and people will hang on to it, not for hours, not for days, not for months, but what have we seen? Sometimes years and decades. Why is forgiveness a matter of spiritual warfare? Because forgiving is obedience to God. And Satan doesn't want you to be obedient to God. Refusing to forgive, listen to me, folks, refusing to forgive is sin before God. Satan tempts us then to live disobediently because sin separates us from God, doesn't it? Sin separates the lost from God. But sin also separates the saved from God. We fall out of fellowship with God. It separates us not from our salvation, but as a saved person, if we have sin in our life, it separates us from God's blessing. It separates us from God's peace. It separates us from God's joy. It separates us from a desire to worship. Have you ever been full of sin and just thought, let's go worship? No. Satan knows this. That's why he works so hard to knock us down. Second thing is, forgiving others is a godly characteristic of being forgiven. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Bible tells us that God first loved us. Even that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, God, that he first loved me. And God first forgave me. Godly obedience demands the forgiveness of others. Are you ready for this? Here comes our key phrase today. Godly forgiveness demands that we forgive others. Ready? Even when we don't feel like it. I hear little ones all the time. I even hear older ones that, you know, it doesn't really matter the age. Somebody says, we need to do this. I don't want to. Been there. Done that. Need to get rid of some of those t-shirts. Amen. When we forgive, dear friends, we model God's grace. When we forgive, we show what Jesus is all about. And when we do that, we weaken Satan's influence in our life. Don't you think that Satan wants influence in your life? Sure he does. He wants to drag you down with him. Isn't that exactly what spiritual warfare is all about? To weaken our walk with Jesus? To weaken our witness so that we don't feel exuberant for the Lord? We don't talk about the Lord? We don't worship the Lord? We don't serve the Lord? We're a bad witness, so we just shut down. Or we're just giving off bad stuff all the way around. When we model God's love, it's in forgiveness. And when we refuse to forgive, our witness is weakened. Our witness for Christ Jesus in this world is absolutely destroyed. Why? Because we're in sin. When we're in sin, how can we be used of God? Haven't you ever noticed that when we are in sin, Satan throws it all up in our face? Hello? You know, somebody says, oh, let's go worship. I don't feel like it. Why not? Oh, I don't know. I just don't worship. Listen, it's because there's sin in your life. Well, let's let God use us. Let's go out witnessing. Let's go invite people to church. No, I don't feel like it. Why? Because we know that if we haven't been a good witness, we're afraid people are going to look at us and say, didn't I see you down at such and such? Well, didn't I see you out in the yard the other day? Don't we work together? I saw how you treated that co-worker. We're afraid that our witness is going to be called out on us. That's why we need to be right with God, and we tell people, I was wrong. So let me just say this. Just as we are here in the midst of this understanding that we must learn to forgive, we also need to understand that one of the greatest things that we can do to bring us back right with God is to ask forgiveness ourselves. Do you remember? Matthew chapter 5 says that if you bring your offering, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, you did something wrong, go to your brother and be reconciled and then bring your offering. In other words, folks, go get it right. There is no more healing words than these. Please forgive me. I was wrong. And then you're forgiven. Let's get it right. There is nothing more healing in a person's life than this, dear friends. So not only do we need to forgive, we need to be willing to ask for forgiveness. When we refuse to forgive, our witness is weakened. Anger and bitterness come from unforgiveness. And I'm going to tell you again, that is a stronghold of Satan. Satan uses it as a cell that you are locked away in. He locks the door, throws away the key, and he likes to tell you, you'll never get out of here. He makes you feel like you'll never get out of there. In the lives of many Christians, they refuse to budge because they think they can't get out and because even when they tried, it didn't work. Folks, I'm going to tell you, it is those Christians that the world points to and says, that's why I don't go to church. That's why I don't want Christianity, because I'm better to other people than they are, and they're supposed to be a Christian. Godly relationships. Are you ready for this? Godly, loving, caring relationships are a testimony of God's work in our life. How many of you know somebody that's ornery? Just give me a hit. You know, don't point. How many of you know somebody that's just difficult to get along with? Just give me a head nod. Not in here. No, I'm sure it's no one in here. But you know, somebody outside of the family or somebody at work or somebody at school or somebody, you know what I'm saying? You know somebody who's ornery. Don't you just love to be around them? No. But do you know somebody? Think now. Do you know somebody that every time you're around them, they just got a good word? They're smiling. You can't wait. If they were across a crowded street, you'd cross the street to make sure you saw them and to get to talk to them. Whereas you do the opposite for somebody you didn't want to see, right? What kind of witness do we carry with people when we are loving and caring and godly and kind and uplifting? People want to be around us. And they're the very ones who come to you and say, I'm in trouble. What would you do? Or I'm struggling. How do you get through this? Remember, our witness depends on what people see. John chapter 13, verse 35 tells us this, that the world will know that we belong to God by the way we what? Love one another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 tell us that a godly marriage relationship is a model for Jesus Christ's love for the church. Our marriage shows people the church. Doesn't it? Amen. Pray it does. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says that we honor God. We honor God by bearing one another's burdens, not by putting burdens on others. We honor God by having a sensitive and forgiving spirit. And we dishonor God with our bitterness and our lack of forgiveness. Bitterness harms relationships. Do you know, even when you're not mad at somebody, our bitterness comes out on them, right? My wife will ask me in the truck sometimes, she'll say, did you take your blood pressure medicine? Is your sugar low? Why? That. You know, even when we're not mad at them, our bitterness or our anger can come off on somebody else. Amen? That's that whole understanding about, you know, what kind of attitude are we going to have? How are we going to treat people? There is little that pleases Satan more than disharmony among families. And that's husbands and wives and parents and children, but also church families. There is little that pleases Satan more because it ruins both the fellowship and the witness. Refusing to forgive, and here's part of the key, refusing to forgive makes us focus on our pain and on our anger. And that means we've taken our eyes off of God. Amen? We need to look back to God. And when we're seeing ourselves instead of God, it is a whole lot easier to be bitter. Last week we talked about the four stages of forgiveness. And we ran out of these. I put together a little study guide. And I made some more and put them back on the round information table in the back. If you didn't get one, I made some more for you. And we talked about the four stages, if you will, of forgiveness. We talked about forgiveness is a process. And we realized, folks, that we need to confirm the hurt, confess the hate, choose to heal, and then we need to come to harmony, both with God and the individual. That study's right back there for you. I'm not going to re-preach it today. We might need it, but I'll let you find it, go through it today, okay? But we need to understand this, that there is also a continuing of the process, and I want to share that with you this morning. Are you ready? How do we come to the place where we can forgive and we do a better job at it? How do we do that? Here's part of the process. Are you ready? Number one, we've got several things here. They're in your outline. Number one, enlist a prayer partner to pray with. Have somebody pray with you. There is nothing better for your heart than to be praying and to be prayed for. And I don't mean to pray about, as I said last week, but to pray for. Why? Because Satan does not want you to forgive. He wants you to hang on to the bitterness and the anger. He is going to fight strongly against you. And you say, well, it's not my fault. They're the ones who did wrong. Yes, maybe so. But let me tell you this. Do you realize that as a propitiation for our sin, in other words, the substitute for our sin, Jesus came. He did not commit a sin. He never did anything wrong. And yet he paid for every sin on the cross of Calvary. Amen? Jesus gave up his rights for you. He gave up his rights for me. How about this, dear friend? As a child of God, you need to give up your rights. And yes, this world will tell you, you have rights. They hurt you, you can hold it against them. But God's word says, no, you give up your rights, you give them to God, and do what God says to do with them. And he says, I would that you forgive. Enlist a prayer partner. They'll provide strength, and they'll help you to face and win the struggle. Plus, if you have a good prayer partner, they will help hold you accountable. Because they'll ask you, well, did you see old so-and-so? Yeah, I did. Well, what did you tell him? We have to talk about it. Yep. What'd you do? How did you handle it? Folks, get an accountability partner and a prayer partner. Secondly, it is a whole lot easier to forgive when you dwell on how God has forgiven you. When you consider God's grace towards you, you're going to find it easier to offer grace to other people. God forgives you repeatedly. Amen? Is there anybody who didn't say amen, or was you afraid to say it out loud? How many times a day do we need to ask God for forgiveness? How often does God forgive? God forgives us repeatedly. Shouldn't we do the same? Remember the parable of the debtor, the guy who owed millions, and he threw the guy in jail for owing him a little? Remember this. Forgiving does not justify the wrong that somebody does to you. I'm afraid that a lot of people feel this. They feel that, well, if I forgive them, I'm just giving them permission. But forgiving does not justify the wrong done to you, nor does it give permission for that offender to do it again. If they do it again, it's because they did wrong. Now, there may be steps that you need to take to separate yourself from that person, but you still need to forgive them before God. And if you're wondering about those steps, come see your pastor. If you don't know what to do, come see me. You don't sit there and continue to be abused. You need to take some steps on working towards reconciliation. But God's word tells us that we still forgive from the heart, even if we can't restore them physically. So many people think that by forgiving, that they're given permission for their offender to hurt them again. Forgiveness is not restoration unless the offender repents. We'll talk about that another time. God forgives his children when they do wrong. Are you listening to me? When you ask God to forgive you for doing wrong and you mean it, you repent, does God forgive you? But do you still face the consequences of a stupid decision? Sure you do. You know what? You could be driving down the street going 90 miles an hour in a school zone. And then after you get a ticket, you repent. But do you know what? Even though you repent, you still better show up at the courthouse and pay your fine. Or you're 3 days in jail if you're going 90. Folks, just because we forgive doesn't mean there aren't consequences. You might choose your lifestyle, and you might choose to sin. But understand this, you do not choose whether or not there are consequences. You just choose your choice, and consequences come when they're wrong. The fourth thing, oh, I want to share this with you. You know, do you remember in John chapter 8, verse 11, where the woman was brought to Jesus and all these Pharisees brought in a woman. They said that she had been caught in adultery and they threw her down at his feet. And he said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. The law says she'd be stoned. What are we going to do? What did Jesus say? Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, those who are among you who are without sin, pick up the first rock. And pretty soon, it says that Jesus started writing in the dirt. I don't know if he started writing the names of the men who had gone to find her before or what, but he was writing in the dirt, and it says they all left. And he looks up at this woman, and he says, where are your accusers? And she said, they're gone, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. But what did he say after that? Do you remember John chapter 8, verse 11? Go and sin no more. Folks, aren't we all in that boat? We sin, we ask forgiveness, and God says, don't do it anymore. Folks, there are consequences to our sin, and we need to remember that God says, don't do it anymore. The fourth thing is, determine to forgive. Here's one you need to remember. Determine to forgive. And if you will not determine to forgive, you're just going to have to admit your disobedience to God. I think that's why so many people who are unforgiving don't like going to church, because it just reminds them, hey, I'm wrong. I'm wrong before God. If God demands that we forgive others, then to do anything else is disobedient. Disobedience to God never brings joy. Disobedience to God never brings peace with God. Disobedience to God, in other words, unforgiveness and bitterness, only brings more pain. Think about this. When we refuse to forgive, we are challenging God to condemn our own sin. Does that sound tough? When you refuse to forgive, you're saying, go ahead, God, condemn me for what I've done. I don't know about you, but I look for the grace, not the justice in life. And I'm so thankful that God says that grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, are given for me. When we say, you know, I just can't forgive that person, we're daring God to say, then I can't forgive you, and I'm going to have to remove my blessing from your life. If you are not experiencing God's joy, if you're not experiencing God's grace in your life, check your forgiveness packet. Check the case where you carry your grudges. Number five, make the decision. Determine in your heart and then make the decision to forgive. Regardless of any feelings, make the decision to forgive. I know it seems like it, but forgiveness is not an emotion. Our anger is emotion. Our bitterness is emotion. But the decision to forgive is a choice. We must choose to forgive. We know that love is seldom devoid of emotion. We know that. But making loving choices does not depend upon emotion. Sometimes we just make right decisions, whether it feels very emotional or not, right? We get up every morning, guys, and we say, I'm going to go to work to support my family. I'm going to be making a living. I'm going to be taking care of them. I'm going to come home after work instead of going out gallivanting around. I'm going to go home and spend some time with my family. I'm going to work on my relationship with my kids. And it's hard work. It's not emotion. It's hard work. It's a choice. Making loving choices does not depend on emotions. Instead, it depends on our obedience to God. That's what makes the difference. You may not feel like forgiving, because I'm going to tell you, I can't remember one time in my life that I really felt like forgiving. I was mad at you. And when I'm mad at you, I don't want to forgive. But in obedience to God, you can still make the intellectual and hard choice to do so, to say, God, I will forgive. Again, something I heard that helped me, I pray this helps you, is ask God to help you to say the words out loud. God, I forgive Gary. God, I forgive so-and-so, whoever. God, I forgive. And then ask God to say, God, I've said it out loud. Now help me to mean it. Being able to do that helped me tremendously. Understand this, God changes hearts as we obediently follow Him. The sixth thing is, pray for the other person. Remind you again, I told you this last week, don't pray about them, pray for them. Jesus prayed for others as He was crucified. What did Jesus say on the cross? As people nailed Him to the cross, as they abused Him, as they spat on Him, as they beat Him, and He was hanging on the cross, what did Jesus say? He said, Father, what? Forgive them, for they don't understand what they're doing. When we pray for God to extend His grace towards those who have hurt us, we begin to lose our animosity. When we pray for God's grace and God's love and God's help, we begin to lose our anger. And when we do that, Satan's chokehold on us is loosened. And as we do that, we become increasingly like Christ, which makes Satan's hold even weaker. And the last one for today, continue to be accountable to your prayer partner. You see, after the offender has been forgiven, we can find that a reoccurrence of our upsetness can come back. We find that a reoccurrence of our offensiveness or being offended can come back. And the enemy will want us to focus on yesterday. Haven't you noticed you thought everything was going great in your life, and then all of a sudden you remember somebody did something, you know, 2 years ago, and you're mad all over again? Come on, everybody look, eyeballs right here. Every eyeball right here. Have you never felt the ire come back up on something that is so old they've forgotten it? Never. Friend, that is spiritual warfare. Satan welling up in your heart the offense of something done to you. That's why it is so important, dear friend, that no matter how small it is, if you've hurt somebody, apologize. Say, I'm sorry I hurt you. Please forgive me. It goes a long way. And if they said that, you know what? You've got no foot to stand on. when they ask for forgiveness. Remember this, that as human beings, forgiveness is a process. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just say, boom, I said it and it's done. My heart doesn't feel the effects. I don't hold any bitterness. I don't have any anger. I don't ignore them in the hall. Oh, I watched a comedian yesterday or sometime the other day, Brenda, we put it on, and he said, you know, when you have that fight with your wife, you know, and you're in the not talking thing, are you with me? You know, you're not talking. And he says, you don't live in the Taj Mahal. You got a small house. There's just one hall. And as you're passing through, your timing was terrible. There she is. There he is. You're going, excuse me. Get over ourselves, right? Will we let it just continue, or are we going to take care of it? Remember, it's a process. And folks, when our anger reoccurs, if we entertain it, it can be no less of a sin than when we tried to take care of it the first time. You know, it could be a whole lot like washing your hair. Lather, rinse, repeat. Lather, rinse, repeat. Right? Pray, repent, forgive. Pray, repent, forgive. And you're still in the same shower. Pray, repent, forgive. Folks, it's wise to keep in touch with your prayer partners and pray for those. I mean, God's word says, pray for your enemies and those who despitefully use you. Seek prayer support when the enemy strikes. Amen. There is nothing that helps as much as getting God's help. But sometimes when you've got a friend to pray with you and to talk to, I'm not talking about for gossip, I'm talking about for your needs, you pray. Forgiveness is a part of spiritual warfare because Satan wants to use it strongly in our life to tear us down. He wants to use it to break down our relationships. He wants to use it to tear down our witness. He wants to use it to destroy our peace. He wants to use it to rob our joy. And there is very little that is effective as doing it as unforgiveness. That's why it's spiritual warfare. Removing the bitterness, removing the unforgiveness will heal your heart, friend. Wouldn't it be nice to have peace in heart? Wouldn't it be nice to have joy again? Listen, it can happen. Start with the words, Lord, I forgive. Amen. And then say, God, now help me to mean it and go through the process. Removing that bitterness will strengthen your walk. And folks, here's the cool thing. It'll take the lid off of your receptacle. It'll take the lid and the umbrella off of the blessing of the reign of God so that it can come into your life once again. Would you pray with me? God, we don't like this verse, but oh, how we love it. God, we don't like that we are called on to be more mature, but oh, how we need it. Father, there are so many things in this life that hurt. People who do us wrong, from the way they look at us to the way they talk, to the things they take. Father, there are so many ways for us to be offended. God, help us to look beyond the fault of others and to see their need of Jesus. And God, help us not only to be willing to forgive so that we might be right and walking close with you, but God, help us to be willing to ask humbly for forgiveness.